I'm Peter Cook, semi-retired ethnomusicologist, still doing a bit of teaching of African ethnomusicology at Birmingham University and at SOAS.
How do you see music as a role in development?
I think you find it present in just about every group activity that's concerned with development. If you've got women's self-help groups, they make a choir. They get it. They even bring in men to do the drumming sometimes because of taboos about using drums, but they have to have their music. If it's AIDS awareness, the teaching of that, it's so often with the help of songs, song texts, little plays, acting. Again, that's musical activity. Out in the villages, if you're not particularly attached to a group, you nevertheless have a whole raft of musical activities associated with birth of twins, weddings, funerals, consultation with healers, healing rituals themselves, which are often wonderful morale-boosting activities for depressed people, for instance. There's no end to the ways in which music is used in Uganda, and that's true for the whole of Uganda. It doesn't matter how poor people are, they've got voices that can be raised in song, they've got arms and legs which can be used in movement. Instruments are very often very simply and quickly made. They're sort of low technology but high musical content.
You said that drums were a taboo, or there's a taboo around drums. What way?
Well, there's a certain amount of gender division, the division of labour in Uganda. So men would hunt and defend homes, women would dig. Men will beat drums and play instrumental music, women will sing and dance, though men will dance also. In some cases, it does become taboo. For instance, when I first began training teachers in Uganda, I decided that they should learn the traditional flute, one of the local flutes called Endere. And even the girls were to learn it. And in the context of the campus, the college campus, they were very happy to do so. And I spoke to one day at the end of term, and I said, "Kathy, are you taking your flute home with you?" "Oh, no, sir, I wouldn't do that. My parents would beat me. Women are not allowed to play the flute." Wow. Mind you, the flute has a phallic symbolic value for many, many people, not just in Africa, many other parts of the world. So that's one element to it. But it's a nice little example of taboos, musical taboos.
Do you say that, have you ever worked or found that music's helped in any kind of post-conflict situation?
Yes. Well, I've been working recently with a group of Acholi, and you know that conflict up in Acholi land has been absolutely horrendous, absolutely awful. And for a long time, very few people could get up north, and even now you still sometimes have to go in convoy. But a number of Acholi fled to southern Uganda. Now, it's very interesting. They live in slums around Kampala. What do they sing about? First of all, they preserve some of the songs from their village competitions. "We are number one. We are the best group. We are going to win." Yeah. This kind of thing. Secondly, they'll sing about this war in the north, how awful it is. But in the same song, when they're complaining that their women are raped, that their sisters give birth in the bush, and so on, they will say, "Connie, come talk with us. Come talk with us. Let's get it settled." Otti, who's now dead, by the way, killed by Connie, "come talk with us. It's time for peace." And these songs were being sung at the same time as a bureaucracy overseas was saying the International Criminal Court wants to arrest Kony and try him. there's a lot of forgiveness for the sake of a lasting peace and building one as soon as possible. And that's the same in Rwanda, for instance, after that terrible slaughter in Rwanda. Same kind of things, a readiness to make peace. And these songs are full of that kind of talk.